So if God's a title, what is his name? And we're going to turn now to Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 15. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I'll go over and see this strange sight. Why the bush does not burn up? When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face, because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. And I am concerned about their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, What is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, Say to the Israelites, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. So if God is a title, what is God's name? Okay. Actually, he has hundreds of names, but there's one in particular that appears over 6,800 times in the Old Testament. Not that I've counted them. That would take a long time to count. At camp, I needed to illustrate to the boys that there are 456 promises of Jesus in the Old Testament. And it's like, how do you visualise 456? So we had 456 pennies. Can you imagine 6,800 pennies? Yeah, that is an awful big number. And that is how many times God's name appears in the Old Testament. And that name in Hebrew is the four letters YHWH, translated as the Lord. Probably pronounced Yahweh originally, but sometimes we hear it as Jehovah. Okay. So why does God have a name? And I guess it's very similar to why we have names. So firstly, they help to identify people, to tell people apart. So instead of saying, go and tell, oh, that person over there, you know, the one with the glasses and the hair, which wouldn't be terribly helpful, you know, it's go tell Bev, go tell Margaret, go tell Jim. We have names so that we can be identified and apart from other people. Do you want to go on to the next slide? And the next one. And the next one. We're catching up. Okay. So they help us to identify people. The Old Testament, there were lots of the gods with small g's worshipped by other nations, like Dagon, Baal, Bel, and others. And the name Yahweh identified the God of Israel as opposed to these other gods. Names help us to establish a personal relationship. In almost every culture, when you meet someone new, the first thing you do is tell them your name and ask them theirs. It establishes a relationship. And I'm sure there are times when you've perhaps felt insulted because somebody who you've met several times can't remember your name. Yeah? Or perhaps the opposite of that, when you discover that someone you consider important, so important that they haven't noticed you, actually knows your name. And you feel, actually, yeah. And then you realise you've got it on a badge around your neck. But we like to be known by name. Last week, I was up at Essex University with Hannah, and I noticed Hannah's boss, amazing ability. In 10 days, she had learnt the names of over 150 young people. How many young people did you have? 236 young people there, yeah? And she had learnt every single one's name. So as they walk past, Brendan, Hannah, and she would say their name. They knew that she had taken the time to learn who they were. An amazing gift that I don't possess. Names are an indicator of the intimacy of that relationship. In some situations, when people don't know my name, I will be madam. You know, if you're in a shop and they don't know who you are, you've not got your name around your neck, madam. Or if they're being extremely generous, miss. But if I was to take my car into the garage, then I'm Mrs. Holden. Yeah, there's a degree of they know who I am, they can identify who I am, but they've not quite got to the stage of using my name. If I go to the dentist, where I am patient number 100, they've known me long enough that they now call me Jane. But I notice there are other patients who are Mr. So-and-so, Mrs. So-and-so. An indication of that relationship. I have a name that cannot be shortened very easily. Yeah, it's just plain Jane. And when people ask me how they spell it, I say, oh, it's plain Jane without a Y. I've recently come across some Janes that are J-A-I-N, which is also how you spell plain, so I can't use that anymore. But there are those people whose names can be shortened. Last Monday in the office, we had two new people start work. And very, very quickly, only my mother uses my full name. I'm Ben, and I'm Ronnie. They didn't want to be Benjamin and Veronica. That was not how they are known. So in revealing his name to Moses, Yahweh put himself into the most intimate relationship available with Moses. And as astonishing as that may seem, he does that for us too. Our God, the God of Moses, Abraham, and Isaac, wants to be known to us by his most intimate name, Yahweh. And the third reason we have names is that they have meaning. They often describe character. And I joked that my name, God is gracious, and said that I perhaps am not always. I'm so thankful I wasn't given the name Grace or Patience, because that just wouldn't fit. But God's name shows his character too. And that's what God is doing in verse 14. We know that he's describing his character because the name Yahweh was first used in Genesis 2. So it's not a name that Moses would be unfamiliar with. He's not revealing to Moses his name. He's revealing his character in a way that he never did to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's changing the way people think about him. From the office, the title, to that of a person with characteristics and a relationship. The name Yahweh is most likely based on the name I Am Who I Am. If we were looking at it in English, it would perhaps be eternal or always. But to the Hebrews, the name itself and everything it stood for was seen as being incredibly holy, so sacred that they'd never even pronounce it out loud, replacing it with Adonai, Lord, when they read scripture. Revealing the name Yahweh to us shows God's desire for that relationship with us and lets us know something of his character. But it ought also to make us stand in awe. As Yahweh said to Moses, "Take your sandals off, for the place on which you're standing is holy ground." Moses is terrified. He's standing opposite a burning bush that's not actually burning up. He's confronted with the living God himself. So not surprisingly, he's hiding his face in fear, cowering in terror just from hearing God's voice. But there's worse to come. God has a job for him. If he is cowering in terror at just encountering God's voice, how much more scary is the thought that God has a job for him? Moses had fled Egypt 40 years before because he'd murdered someone. And the world's most powerful man was trying to kill him. Now he's got to go back to that same country, back to the world's most powerful man, and tell him that his slaves are to go free. This order was just so ridiculous. It was like telling the President of America that his country's no longer allowed to use oil or the internet. Just not going to happen. Because the entire economy depends on it. And Pharaoh depended on his slaves. Without his slaves, everything would fall apart. So is it any wonder that Moses is a little bit scared? And in desperation, he asks God for his name. And God's reply is simple. I am who I am. But not a one-off name. As I've said, 6,800 times. What a name. Of all things that God could call himself, he chooses, I am. Quite simply shows that God is. It reminds Moses that no matter how powerful Pharaoh is, he has a God who actually exists, in contrast to the Egyptian gods. The great I am then demonstrates his existence with action in a series of devastating plagues. Through each plague, you can see the contrast between the I am and the they're not. The God who is against the gods who are not. The final judgment, the death of the firstborn, says, I am, so clearly to Pharaoh that he lets the Israelites go. Moses, though weak, overcomes the world's most powerful man because he has the I am, the real God, on his side. Now, God existing may not seem that controversial. Many of the people we meet probably agree that God exists, even if they're not disciples of Jesus. The problem is, if you read on in the story of Moses, that you'll find that Pharaoh believed in God. Hitler probably believed in God. And in James 2, verse 19, we're told that even the demons believe there is one God and shudder. So believing that God exists is not enough. The name I am means more than just that God exists. It means he matters. When Moses said, who am I? God shows him that it's irrelevant because he has I am on his side, and that is what matters. Remember, Moses already believes in God, but God doesn't want this on the edge of Moses' thinking. He wants it smack bang in the center. Believing in God is not enough. To be a disciple is to be someone who realizes how earth-shatteringly important God is, how much he matters in every way, how he is the I am. So God revealed himself to Moses and to us as the I am. Isn't that amazing? If I were God, would I have called myself I am? Or would I have gone for something a bit more pizzazz? You know, would I have gone for superpower? Would I have gone for cosmic creator? But God goes for I am who I am. Right at the center of our understanding of his character, God wanted us to know, next slide, that he always was, He always will be. And he matters. So he made that his name. I am who I am. And I'm going to leave it at that point. We won't carry on to all the other names of God today. We'll do that another day.